Bibles up to 2 Corinthians. I appreciate that encouragement. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, I'm going to give this to you in Amplified. I know it's a little harder for you to follow along, but I just the Amplified brings so many things out in this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 should be very familiar scripture to you. In the King James, of course, says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But let's just read this now in the Amplified. And it says this. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation. A new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, making God making his appeal as though it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him by His goodness. Now that's a whole lot more than what you saw in the King James. But look what Paul's trying to let us know here. He's trying to let us know that first of all, we're all new creations. We're all new creatures. We're not who we used to be. Folks look at us and they see what we look like and they think that, you know, that's the same old person. But, you know, I found out that I could be around somebody, you know, maybe know them pretty well, and then maybe something happens, maybe move away or whatever happens, but then you're away from somebody for a while, and then when you get back together, it's almost like you don't even know that person because you got to kind of get to know them again. Right? You see, so when people look at us a lot of times, they think, well, you know, that's you know, look at me, that's Mike Tackett, you know, I've known him all my life. But you see, if you've not been around me, you don't really know me. Because I'm not the person I used to be. Come on. Some of the guys I used to hunt and fish with. Some of the guys I used to swarp some with. I ain't always been a pastor. Ain't always been saved. Been saved most of my life, but not always. You know. And when I say swarp, I'm just talking about some things that, you know, just what sinners do. Okay. But if you get around them, you know, they kind of, you know, people come around me a lot of times and they'll ask me about certain things. And I'll say, I've not done nothing like that in a long time. Why? Because I'm not the same person I used to be. Once I got born again, I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away, and now, behold, the new's come. And so, you know, I still like to do a lot of the things. I still like to fish. I like to hunt. I like to enjoy my life. But I do it differently now. As a sinner, when I fished, I wanted to catch fish. And, I mean, I was out to catch fish. And if I didn't catch fish, I was mad. I just get aggravated, you know. I mean, yeah, I'll never forget. I've got a cousin that he was the same, you know, kind of the same way. And I can just remember him. He would just, and my Uncle Tim that's gone on to be with the Lord. He, you know, I don't, this Tackett's kind of got just a little bit of, in the past, there was temper. Now that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and me. But at that time, you know, it'd be just dad berm this and dad berm that, you know, and just mad and aggravated. But you know what now? See, I count it a blessing just to get to go. If I catch, that's awesome. But if I don't, it's just a blessing that I got to be out in God's creation. You see, I look at things differently. You know why? Because now I realize that I've been redeemed, and God that made everything loved me enough to let His Son die for me. Now I'm a new creature in Christ. Notice that. You're a new creation. If you're born again, child of God, you are a brand new person that's never been before. Think about that. Now your outside might have not changed. My hair didn't grow back when I got saved. You know, I mean, I keep speaking over it, but it's, I'm getting to keep so far, I think. You know, it's the good thing about the way my hair is, I don't, when I look in the mirror, I got a full head. Right? Come on now. You know, when I look, I can't see that spot there. Now, when I turn around like this, you guys can see that, you see. But I still can't see that. And I'm not real bad to turn around and look at the back just so I can see it. I was thinking a few minutes ago when Stephanie was talking about BMI. Everybody know what BMI is? Body mass index. In other words, it's how much fat you got for your tallness and all that kind of thing. And I was sitting there thinking, she was talking about it. It just changed, man. I said, well, you know, if you really want to know your BMI, just get in front of the mirror without any clothes on. Turn sideways. You can find out real quick whether or not your BMI is off. Right? It's true. Oh, I got to get off that. Here we go. Okay. I'm a new creature now. I may look the same. I may have the same BMI, but on the inside of me. On the inside of me, I've been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to get them to see. He wants them to understand that because of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into their life, that now they're different. Why? Because God used Christ to cancel out the trespasses against Him. Come on. God used the Lord Jesus Christ to cancel out your trespasses against Him. Isn't that awesome? He goes on to say that He made Him to be sin for us. He made Jesus to be sin. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross took upon Himself our sin. Now, it says He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. The Lord Jesus never sinned while He was upon this earth. He never sinned. So He was able then to take upon Himself our sins and be nailed to a cross and pay the price for the sins of the whole world. You see, so He was made to be sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. See, your righteousness now is not because of how good you are or how good you were, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did through His death, burial, and resurrection. Because He knew no sin, He became sin for us. He paid the price for our sin when He was crucified to a cross. They placed Him in the tomb. He went to hell and paid the price for you and I. Now, there's a lot of preachers don't tell you that, but I can show it. I can prove it to you in the Bible. First of all, He descended to the lower parts before He ever rose again in the resurrection. He paid the price for us. Once He had paid the price, that's when you read in the Bible says He'd see His soul and He'd say, you know, well done, my son. Jesus did it. He paid the price for us. And because He did, now when God sees us because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He sees Christ in us. We are the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, not of any good deeds we've done. The Bible says our righteousness is a filthy rags. But we've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what Paul's trying to get across here. He wants us to know that we've been made new creatures. We've been made new people in Christ. Now, I like what he goes on and says in this. He talks about then the fact that we've been made new creatures. Now because of that, he's made us his ambassadors. In other words, he's made us his representatives. Because you're a born-again child of God, you are now an ambassador or a representative of God. You go out into the world and people see you and you're representing God to the world for Him. Actually, as an ambassador, you're supposed to be doing business for God. That's what an ambassador does. When an ambassador from one country goes to another country, they go there to do business on behalf of their king, their prince, their president, or whatever it is. They have the same authority as that king, that prince, that when they go to that country. What they say, that kingdom backs. Do you understand? God's saying to us, you're my ambassadors, and you have all of heaven backing you up as you represent me. Think about that. All the power of heaven is behind you and in you and with you as you go out and be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or be examples to help to lead people into the favor of God or into the kingdom of God. See, most of the church is just sitting around and we're not really doing anything. But God didn't save us just to sit around. Come on now. Jesus said over there in Acts, He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. What's a witness do? Well, they go out and they testify to the goodness of God. God's witnesses go out and tell everybody how good God is. And about the goodness of God and the favor of God, the healing of God. Come on, somebody. All of His benefits belong to the children of God. And as ambassadors, it's our job to go out and tell everybody, hey, you want the favor of God in your life? You need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Now, again, we're no longer who we used to be. So we need to start walking in this newness of life. We need to walk like we're ambassadors. Amen. We'll talk about it just a little bit more in a minute. But go with me over here to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you something here. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 4 and 5. Romans 6, 4 and 5. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, what's He saying? So He's telling us we ought to be walking in the newness of life just like the Lord Jesus walked once He was resurrected. Remember? Once He was resurrected, He was no longer the lowly Jesus. Come on, now He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He says that's the way we ought to be walking in the newness of life, because He said once Jesus died and was resurrected, now we've got the resurrected Jesus. We don't have the Jesus that's part man, part God. He's God. Amen. And that's the way He walked upon the earth after He was resurrected. Now, here's what you've got to understand. He's saying to us, we need to be walking in this newness of life. We have been buried in baptism, just like Jesus was placed in the grave. Right? And when Jesus rose from the grave, He rose and was resurrected, right? To that new life, that new power, the resurrected Lord and Savior. He's saying, you and I, when we raise up from baptism, we're to be raised up into resurrected life, or walking in the newness of life, because it might have been the old person that went under the water that's a new person that comes up. Now, we get born again before we get baptized, but that baptism is the signification of Jesus dying, being buried, and rose again. It's that example, you see. And so once we've done that, then we ought to walk like the Lord walked. Why? Because I've got the name of Jesus. He said I had His name. He's given me His name. Right? The name that's above every name. Right? He's also given us an anointing that's in our life. Come on now. And He's also given us every promise that's in the Word of God. He's given us His Word. So you and I ought to be doing business for the kingdom of God, because we've been raised up now, resurrected into the newness of life through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That means no longer do we have to carry any guilt and have all this load that a lot of people walk around and carry. Look here, I'm going to read with you from Romans 8:1-2, just real quick. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Notice this. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You get born again, there's no longer any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk, now listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, if you're out here living like a heathen, you're going to get condemned about it. The Holy Spirit's going to not let you get away with that. But if you're walking after the Spirit, there's no reason for you to be condemned. Right? No reason for you to be convicted. No reason for Him to call you out on it. Right? He goes on and says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." It's a law. "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Notice, isn't that awesome? See, I don't got to walk around wringing my hands anymore. I don't have none of that because Jesus Christ has paid the price for my sin. I've made Him my Lord, and now I can walk in newness of life and enjoy my life. I don't have to walk in worry. Come on now. I don't have to walk in fear. It just blows my mind how many people are in fear when we don't have to be, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love, a sound mind. It's what Paul told Timothy. God didn't give that spirit of fear, but see, it's the devil that wants us walking in fear. He wants to stifle our life, you know? But you can't walk in that. You have to walk in this newness of life, in this freedom that He's given us. Amen. See, that's the thing I want to get across to you today is you ought to be walking in freedom. You ought to be walking in this new life and not worrying about what the world's doing. Amen. Do you understand that the world's in bondage still to that law of sin and death? But you and I, through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we've been made alive. We're free from all that stuff. Come on. Even if we die and leave this earth, guess what? We're going to open up our eyes looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. We've made it to heaven. Come on. Tommy, that's something to get excited about. You know, I'm not saying anybody want to die right now. I'm just saying if you do, it's going to be better. Now, it'd be hard on those that you leave behind, but I'm just telling you, when you've got life in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking in this newness of life down here, there's a better life waiting. Think about that. He wants you to have it good here, but there's better waiting. Amen. Come on, think about that for a minute. So when we start looking at that, then you know, we have to see that walking in the newness of life means now I'm going to start walking in my life to try to please God. I want the things I do to please God, right? Don't you? You know, I'm walking to please God, but I also know that I have the assurance of heaven. I don't have to wonder, don't have to guess, don't have to worry. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Either God's a liar or I'm going to heaven. And He knows God's not a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So we walk this thing out. We walk in this newness of life and we walk without any guilt and condemnation. We walk knowing that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're born again children of God and everything that heaven has belongs to us. Think about that for a minute. The enemy has no place, no hold on you. Do you understand that? That's what Stephanie was talking about earlier. You just don't give the devil any place. That's why the Bible says neither give the devil place, or neither give place to the devil. Why? Because he wants to come in and he wants to wreak havoc in your life. But it's not him. He's not able to do it unless you let him to. You have to let him do it. So you have to just begin to stand up, walk in this newness of life. Look, the devil, don't ever be afraid of the devil.
Amen.
Come on, don't ever be afraid of the devil. A lot of folks are. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's what the Bible says. It's the enemy that wants to bluff you. He's a bully. He wants to try to bluff you, but don't let him bluff you. You stand the ground, stand on the Word of God, and I promise God's got you to back. So we ought to be wanting to do the will of God, to please God. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation so that it helps you understand things a little better. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you've finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust. their feastings and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Now, I wanted to bring that out to you because I wanted you to understand, as we walk in this newness of life and as God has changed us from the inside out, a lot of things that we did, we won't do anymore. And even sometimes walking out the newness of life, you have to separate some relationships sometimes. Sometimes you have to just let go of folks that ran around you that you thought were your friends, but not really your friends. They just ran around with you because you did the same things they did. Amen. See, because a true friend's going to respect the fact that you've decided to live in this new life, that you've decided to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll respect that and honor that. But there's some relationships where, you know, you're going to have folks say, "Oh man, you've destroyed your life." I've actually heard this. You've destroyed your life. What are you going to do now? No, they didn't destroy your life when you made Jesus Lord. You just got life. They're the ones that's destroyed because they don't understand that without Jesus, they're not going to have eternal life in heaven. But notice it says, you know, your friends will think it's strange about you and they'll slander you. They'll talk about you. You know what I've been talked about ever since we've had this church? I mean, they've said about everything that you could think about, they've said about me. They've said about the church, they've said about you. You know, y'all know a lot of the stuff that's said, and it's still being said. It's funny, it's kind of funny because I was talking with a guy one day, and I didn't know him very well, you know, but I thought that he would have known, but, you know, he asked me a question about, maybe it was something about the checkbook or something like that. And I said, yeah, you got to show me your checkbook. You got to go down to the bank, let me see how much money you got. And then I got to be able to see your tax returns. And, you know, I just went through all the things that I'd heard people had said about us, you know. And I was just joking. The next day he comes up to me and says, "I got to ask you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "What I asked you yesterday." I said, "What?" And he said it again. He said, "Is that true?" I said, "No, I'm just joking." He said, "Well, I thought you was being serious." Because he had heard all that, see. And I never turned around and told him I was joking that day. And we was talking about it the other day. He said, "Remember when you told me all that?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought you told me he was telling me the truth." I said, "Man, who would want to, you can't pay people to come to church, let alone them pay to come." Right? I mean, come on, we got plenty of room. I don't think you'd get out here and jump up and down waving $50 bills and get people to come to church. You have to want to. There has to be a drawing from the Holy Spirit. There's got to be somebody saying, "You know what, I'm tired of this old life and I want to walk in this newness of life." That's why you're here today, because you want to walk in this thing. You know that this is a better life than that out there. You know that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this lost and dying world. Jesus Christ is the only hope for our country. And we know that. The people that Stephanie said, if you don't know, you don't know. But people that do know. Right? Come on. We know that. And, you know, you can pass off things if you want to and act like it don't matter. But everything matters. Everything we ought to do ought to be to the glory of God as we walk in the newness of life. We walk this thing out. And we're careful. Notice that it said that they were anxious. We'd be anxious to do the will of God, and our friends would just talk about us. Well, you know, just let them talk. Again, I've been talked about all my life, but you know what? God is blessed all the way. They started talking about us when we were in a rented building down there. And they talked about us when we started building on this building. Some of them even talked about trying to burn us out. Christians were trying to burn us out. They'd mentioned it. Well, what kind of spirit was that? You know, but all along I watched as God blessed and people that weren't even Christians were doing this for us and doing that and giving this to us. And, you know, it was overwhelming the way God blessed. And it was just me, Mike Tackett from over on Mine Fork. You know, a nobody. But I had a calling on my life. And I had a job that God had called me to do. You know, a lot of my family and friends still think I'm crazy. You know, they still believe all the tales and all that stuff. You know, they everything that's said, they believe, you know, because people like to believe bad stuff. They don't really want to know the truth. They just like, you know, there was an old song a long time ago. Was it Glenn Fry, Dirty Laundry? Is that the right one? People like dirty laundry. That's just what they like. But you see, here's the thing. God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will show His glory through who He wants to. Did you hear me? If He could use a chicken, if He could use a donkey, He can use me. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to be willing to do whatever He says to do. When I look around here, it still amazes me. How in the world was this done? It had to be by the hand of God and by a miracle of God. And you know, here's the thing, God's still doing stuff. He's still moving. It ain't over yet. You know, this is just the physical part you're looking at here. The spiritual part's what's most important. And God's still changing lives. Think about some of you all. I mean, I look around the crowd and see different people. And I think about some of you. Where would you be now if the Lord hadn't have got you and given you newness of life? All kinds of trouble. You're right. If we were even here. So let them talk. I don't care. I'm living the new life. I'm living the good life. I choose to live the high life because I'm an ambassador of Christ. I don't have to eat the scraps. I get to eat from the master's table. I get the good things. And if that makes them mad, they just have to get mad because I'm just being biblical, because the Bible says that God will prepare a table before you right in the presence of your enemies. In other words, He'll bless your socks off while everybody else is sitting there shaking their head. I just don't understand. I don't know why. I know why. But God, because we choose to walk in the newness of life, God will fight our battles for us. God will still bless it, don't matter what. It doesn't matter if the enemy thinks they're bigger and they think they're better. Remember when they captured the ark and they put the ark in the same temple as Dagon, the god, Philistine god? Took that ark into the temple, and there they've got this big graven image of Dagon, Philistine god. They go back in the next day, and Dagon's on his face, bowed toward that ark. And they're sitting there thinking, I don't understand. I don't know what happened. Set him back up. They set him back up, and they come back in, and he's on his face. And he ain't got no arms. He's in pieces. Why? Because there ain't no God can stand against our God. He's the only God. And there ain't no false God. And there ain't no false prophet. There ain't nobody that can stand against our God. Our God will deliver us just like you watch Him deliver Israel. Why? Because that's the God we serve. And that's the newness of life we're walking in, church. To believe that God is God. And that His Son, Jesus Christ, just died on a cross for us so that we can have this life and make sure we're telling everybody and being representatives of that and understanding that places us in a place to where we're no longer beggars. You hear a lot of the church and they talk like we're supposed to be slugs and, you know, we're not supposed to have anything. And, you know, they're Christians. They shouldn't be wanting that or doing. Listen, God wants you to have anything that you desire as long as it's not against Him. Delight thyself in the Lord and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. See, it's people that don't understand the goodness of God that thinks we have to live in poverty and we can't have anything. And Christians, you know, those folks think Christians oughtn't to be in politics. Yeah. I just got two or three yeahs. I don't want to get into that too much. But listen, if the Christians, if we don't get good people in there that love God, what are we going to have? Yeah. Now, do you say, you know, I have all heard all my life, well, you let them be a Christian when they go in, they won't be when they come out. They don't have to be that way. It don't have somebody that really, really knows God and loves God can go in there and change things. Amen. And the trouble is getting Christians to support them. rather than wag that tongue at them, talk about how bad it is going to be. Amen. That's not walking in newness of life. We ought to be praying for righteous people to be in the authority. Why? Because that's when the nation will rejoice. Amen. So as we walk in our newness of life, as we walk as an ambassadors, we ought to want people running our country that's walking as ambassadors of Christ and not backing down to the whims and the bribes and all the rest of the things that goes on. You ought not to be able to be bribed by somebody. Did you hear me? I'll never forget, Emmett Spencer was one of my spiritual mentors. I'm just a young pastor, didn't know nothing, still don't know a whole lot, but I've learned a few things. But I'll never forget. I mean, he was the first prophet I was ever in the presence of, and how God used him so mightily, it was just something to be around. But I'll never forget one thing that he said God told him. He said, Emmett, if you'll stay away from the 3 G's, I'll be with you and I'll take care of you. And he said, God, what's the 3 G's? He said, you stay away from the girls, you stay away from the gold, and you stay away from my glory. See, that's 3 things that will destroy ministry. Amen.
Yes.
And we've applied that to this church always. In this church, that's why, there's not this open doors. There's not a man and another woman going into any room by themselves. We've done that. That's why they talked about us. Brother Jerry Gullett used to walk around with all the time. Scotty walks around with me right now and they say, oh, he's always got him a bodyguard. They're not there as a bodyguard. They're there as a witness. So somebody can't just walk up and say something to me and then walk off and say, you know what he said to me? I've got a witness that they can't start slander and they can't destroy the ministry. So you guard those things. When it came to money, have I ever had anybody in this church that wanted to bribe the pastor? I have. Back when we could have used money. Had some folks that was given $500 a service. That don't sound like a whole lot now, but it is a lot now, and it was then too. And they started doing that, but then they came to me and they started wanting to do things in the church, this thing and that thing, and there was some things that I didn't want done in the church. And it just kind of kept going along, and of course they were trying to gather friends. See, most of y'all don't know stuff like this. This is just stuff, that pastors have to go through sometimes. But they started trying to gather some friends so they could get some folks on their side. And so the final conversation before they ended up leaving was, we want to do this and that, and you're not going to let us, and it looks like everybody's with you, so we're just going to leave. I said, yep, that's the best thing for you to do is just leave. See, I refuse to be bribed by their money. God has always provided everything that He needed here at this church, and He always will, through people who love Jesus Christ and are willing to give to Him so that they can be blessed. You see, there's always going to be those things, and it can happen. But we guard against those things. And I promise you, I'm never going to take credit for anything God ever does. I'm not taking any of His glory. I want Him to be everything you see here, God did. And is still doing. Hallelujah. He's done it. So as we walk through this newness of life, we realize it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing that we walk in and the favor that we walk in is because of what He's done. So yes, I'm anxious. I'm anxious to serve God and do what God wants me to do. I'm anxious to do His will. No matter what anybody says. Now, notice here that it talked about an attitude. See, because walking in new life means I have to have a new attitude. I can't have the attitude of a beggar, somebody begging God for things and begging in this world. No. You've got to understand that God gave you something when He gave you new life. He gave you favor with Him. He gave you everything that He has in the kingdom. So you've got to change your attitude to realize that I am now a child of God. I'm not some beggar out here on the street. I don't got a knock on the door. and begs God. Come on, folks. Some folks are not. They don't pray. They beg. Oh, God, please. All of His promises are yes and amen to us, according to the Word. Come on. So what we got to do is get in the Word and find out what God's will is, because God's will is His Word, and then just go ahead and thank Him for it. Just begin to receive it and say, I've got it. Come on. I'm an ambassador. I'm ready representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore everything God has is mine. And so I don't got to beg for it. God gives it to me. He's already given it to me. Let me show you something here in Romans chapter 8. We'll close out with this scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I just want you to see this so you can understand it's in the Word. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Let me just stop right there. How many in here knows that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If you're a born-again child of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right? God raised Jesus from the dead. If the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, He's going to make you alive so that you can walk in this newness of life. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you see that? He said, if you're debtor to the flesh, you're going to die to the flesh. In other words, if I'm living to please my flesh, then I'm just going to live and die. But if I'm living to please God, the Spirit of God is just going to lift me up and raise me up. I'll be led by the Spirit of God. Some of them on the praise team was talking about, and somebody said something about being led, and one of them said, I bet you pastor's got a sinker out there in the truck. He can go get it for you so you can be led. You know. Boy, some of you get that after a while. If I'm being led by the Spirit of God, then it says, I'm not being led by my flesh. Now let me read on just a little bit more. He says, many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, verse 15, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. Thank God for God adopting us. Amen. Praise God. The Spirit itself, or Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Can anybody just know by in their spirit that you're the child of God? I mean, when I think about God, I get excited, don't you? When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I get excited. That's a testimony. That's a witness on the inside of you that God lives in you. But notice this now. That's the witness that you're a child of God. And He says, if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What's He talking about? You're going to be persecuted, just like He was persecuted. But here's what you've got to realize. I am a child of God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What's that mean? That means me walking in my newness of life is me doing the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ did here upon this earth. After He's resurrected, He's walking in the power of God, and so are you and I. We're walking in that fullness that God has. Now, I understand that Jesus operated as 100% human, 100% man. He operated and operated in power, but His glorification, after He was glorified, that's when we're talking about Jesus was really King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He put off that flesh on the cross. When He came out of the grave, He was the glorified Jesus Christ. Remember when He came out, Mary wanted to touch Him. He said, you can't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father. But when He came back down and He just appeared into the room where the disciples was, He says, here, touch me. See if I'm not flesh and bone. You can see the scars. Put your hand in my side. Remember doubting Thomas, who wasn't there. God loved him enough. Jesus loved him enough to appear the second time so that he could see it. I don't know about you. I don't want him to have to appear the second time to me. I believe he is now. I believe he's the risen Savior, and I believe that he died for my sins, and that I can now walk in this life that he's given me without guilt, condemnation, and enjoy my life and enjoy the benefits of knowing who I am in Christ as a child of God, as an heir, and a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet with me?